Okay, so now we're going to speak about the Pirekesh Begila. My notes are a little bit, I photocopied basically the last two pages out of order. So if you want to follow my notes, they start on the fifth page of the handout, and then they go on to the last page of the handout. So, sorry about that. Okay, we're going to start. Perakutes. Vayibayamim ha'em. It was during that those days. Vayimelch b'Yisrael, and there was no king in Am Yisrael. Vayi ish Levi gar b'yarkasei Ephraim. Now a certain Levi who lived in the midst of Ephraim. Vayi kach lo ish ha'pilegesh, and he took a wife, a woman, as a concubine, mi'beis lechem Yehuda, from Beis Lechem in Yehuda. Now a couple of very important things here. First of all, the emphasis is once more on there being no king. And this, of course, is the culminating misdeed in Sefer Shoftim, and certainly seems to be setting the stage for the eventual advent of a king. This is also the most horrendous maisa in the Sefer, and there was no melech to rebuke the sinners or to prevent the massive civil war which will follow. Now, the juxtaposition...
Excuse me, did you want this mukitza? Excuse me.
Yeah, she...
Do you want
pizza?
Yeah.
Well, then either one way or another.
Okay, the juxtaposition of Pesel Micha and Pilegesh Begiva, the previous parak and this parak, really cries out that law of the Yisrael Avodah Zorah Ela Kedei La'atu L'Narayos, that Am Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zorah, which we saw in the previous parak when we talked about Pesel Micha, in order to allow themselves licentious behavior, and it seems that the juxtapositions indicate to us, as we've seen throughout the Sefer, that Avodah Zarah, idolatry, and Gilui Arayos, licentiousness, were linked. And in fact, there was a slippery slope down all the way from Avodah Zarah until the worst Avodah of all, even worse than Avodah Zarah, which is intra-Jewish strife and war. The worst Avodah of all is Sinat Chinam, and even Sinah, which is not Soluchina. Any Sinah is considered to be the worst possible Avera in Klal Yisrael. So therefore, this is the ultimate nadir of Sefer Shoftim, which we're about to approach. Now, this pasuk stresses several things. It stresses that this fellow was an Ish Levi. And it stresses that he lived in the Yarkasei Ephraim. And it says a Pilegesh from Beis Lechem. We know that Yonasan, the Kohen in Pesel Micha, was an Ish Levi. And we know that Pesel Micha, where he lived, was in Yarkasei Ephraim, in the midst of Ephraim. And we know that he was originally from Beis Lechem. I would say that this pasuk practically shouts out that this is Yonasan, this Levi.
That's really dumping on him.
What?
That's really dumping
on him. No, in a way, the pasuk protected his identity, if it is him, because we know who Yonasan was, and it doesn't mention him as such.
Parallels are so obvious that you would make the connection.
Yes, the thing is, nobody does. I looked all over the place, high and low, and everybody, a lot of people know the similarity, but nobody takes the next step, which is to say it's the same one. I would say that it has to be the same one. It seems so clear, after giving all the indications previous parak, about the Levi in Ephraim from Beis Lechem, that they are the same person. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it seems to me that they are the same person. In any event, he took a Pilegesh. There are differences of opinion as to what a Pilegesh is and whether the Levi sinned by taking one. There's an opinion in the Rambam that a Pilegesh is only permitted to a king. Pilegesh, according to the Rambam, is a woman who's married with Kiddushin but without Ksuva. There are other opinions which hold that a Pilegesh has no marriage, no official Kiddushin like we do nowadays. She just becomes designated for the individual who takes her. So some held that the Pilegesh, he sinned by taking a Pilegesh. Some hold he didn't. In Brachos, the Ramban speaks at length of the definition of a Pilegesh's lesser status vis-a-vis a wife, though. And therefore, what is clear regardless is that a Pilegesh is more subservient, more perhaps of a slave even, than a wife. And it's clear this Levi was very haughty and powerful if he was able to persuade a woman to become his Pilegesh.
What obligations does he have towards her? Because the combination here of Isha, Pilegesh,
yes,
without the word Isha,
right,
since they're not 20th century,
it's not clear. It's going to go.
Assume that a Pilegesh was a female. Putting in the word Isha here suggests that.
Yeah, we don't. Isha Pilegesh will be significant later on, where we'll see how the word Isha drops it will come up. But I don't know what the specific husbandly obligations about a husband of a Pilegish has to his Pilegish. But you will see that the word Isha will be dropped later on in a very special way, okay, or very significant way.
But Levi takes on these special implications if she has the status of an Isha. He's a Kohen.
Well, he wasn't a Kohen, he was a Levi. So it doesn't have any special status. His wife doesn't have any special status. But in any event,
you're saying it's Machlokas Rishonim, if we understand that Machlokas is just a Neshes Ish?
Yeah, that's correct. Machlokas Rishonim, if Pelegish is a Neshes Ish. This is correct. Okay? In any event, be it as it may, the point here is that the Levi had to have been a very important person in order to persuade a woman to become his Pelegish. Not to become his wife. Which is in line with my theory that it's Yonasa. Yes.
Well, okay, without straying you too much. But if it is Yonasa,
yeah.
From the previous paragraph, he nevertheless, in the eyes of Shevet, Dan, etc., he had the status of a Kohen.
Yes. So what?
Meaning that there's a distortion, there's a twist here, but even though he was only from Shevet Levi, they regarded him as a Kohen.
Kohen.
If
yeah.
in their eyes they regarded him as a Kohen, if she's.
Yeah. It's still not going to make a difference. I don't think it'll make a difference in the context of the parak. You'll see.
No, but the halacha doesn't really.
Well, make a kohen is allowed to take a pelegish. If a yisrael is allowed to take a pelegish, a kohen is too. If one is not,
he gets rid of her,
and
can he take her back?
No, he can't take her back then. But he never got rid of her.
Okay.
He never got rid of her. Well, we digress. In any event, let's go further. Vatiznei lo pilaksho. His pilegish was mizane on him. Now, here too, this machlokas, let's finish the pasuk. Vatelch mito, she left him, el beis avia, to her father's house. El beis lechem Yehuda, to beis lechem in Yehuda. Vatisham, and she was there, yomim arba'a chadashim, she was there solo for 4 months. Now, the Radak and Reb Avram ben Rambam in a tshuva learned that this is nus, is literal as nus. But she was not forbidden to husband because of her Pilegish status. Since the Pilegish is not an Eishes Ish, according to his opinions, so therefore, although an Eishes Ish, whose Mizana is forbidden to her husband, she was an Eishes Ish, and therefore she was allowed to go back. The Malbim says that the fact that it says Batizne Olav Pilaksho, and not Batizne Mimenu Pilaksho, means that this nus was not away from him, but her znus was to go home against her husband's will. That was her znus. She strayed. She strayed back to her father's house.
How about if she was married to someone else? Look at the wording then. Vatizne alav biglal this levi, she was mizane.
Yeah, so.
By being his pilegish. She was perhaps married to someone else.
Oh, I don't know if alav would fit in with that. Don't think so. It should be Vatizne Elov, if that was the case. It doesn't work out with the word Elov. But if you want to say she was Mizana, she was married to somebody else, and she was Mizana with him, reading too much into the pasuk. Nice try, but I wouldn't accept it.
It was all business about Shlomo and Mishpat Shlomo, which one said what, which is the
thing. Well, where do you see that here?
No, I'm not saying that.
No, I don't think so.
Upside down.
I don't think so. There's an important little chazal on this, and if you're permitted to page. I don't have page numbers this week, but right after the parak, on the fourth and sixth page of the handout, there's a Gemara getting that above on base. The Gemara says, in the second line, the second of the wide lines, the last wooden line, Vatizmeh la pilaksho. It wasn't literal znus according to the Gemara either. Rather, Rabbi Yosef says, Zvuv Matzola. He found a fly in the soup, which she served him. And that's what he was upset about. And then, he disgraced her and she ran home. Rabbi Yosef, Nima Matzola. He found by her a hair. The Gemara will explain later on that the custom in those days was that women shaved all their private parts and that she hadn't shaved properly. And that was considered to be a shortcoming in their personal intimate relationships. And he found it and was upset. I'm sorry, period. Vashkhe Rabbi Yosef Elio. Rabbi Yosef found Elio a Navi. Amarle, and asked Elyonavi, "My Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing? When we had this machlokas, I and Rabbi Yonason, what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do?" So Eliyahu HaNavi said, "Osi Pilegesh Begiva." He too was learning Pilegesh Begiva together with you. Umayka Amar, nu, what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu saying? So he said to him, "Ev Yosser b'ni kachu emir." This is what Hashem was saying. "Ev Yosser, my son, says like this. Yoinason b'ni kachu emir. My son, Yoinason, says like this." Amalei. So Rabbi Yosser said to Eliyahu HaNavi, "Chas v'sholom hui mikos feka kamishmaya. Chas v'sholom, is there a doubt by Kadosh Baruch Hu who's right, me or my Rabbi Yonason? Does Hashem not know?" Amalei said, "No. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Both of your words are the words of the living God, or living words of God. Zvuv matzav v'lo hikpid. He found the fly and he didn't get upset. The Levi didn't get upset. Nima matzav, he found the hair v'hikpid and then he did get upset. Rabbi Yehuda said zvuv bekara. The bug was in the plate. The nima and the hair, but also makom, was in the private parts. Zvuv mi susa, the fly is disgusting. The nima sakanta, and the hair is dangerous because it can make the man a krus shafcha if it gets wrapped around him in some way. Ikadamre, some say idi bikara, both he found in the plate, both the fly and the hair he found in his food plate of food he was served. Zvuv onsa, the fly was unintentional. Venima, but the hair was pshusa, was intentional. Rav Chista said, "Lo'elam al yatil adam ema yisera b'soch beso." A person should not be frightful in his own house. Shrei pilegesh begiva, because the pilegesh hitila bala, her husband, placed upon her ema yisera too much fear. The pil, and as a result, this whole thing came and occurred. This whole episode occurred. The pil convos and result, several tens of thousands of Jews are killed. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, "Kol ha'metil ema yisera b'soch beso." Anybody who is very frightful in his own house. So Baal Idei Shlosh Averos, he comes to three sins: Gilui Arayus, Shfichus Damim, Vechilul Shabbos, which were all things which happened here in this case over here for very at various different stages in the war and in the episode. In any event, I want to talk here about the Machlokas Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Yonason for a moment. First of all, what does it mean that they're both right? It seems Rabbi Yehoshua was wrong. A quick question my colleague Rabbi Kivalevich asked me. He said that it seems quite clear that Rabbi Yosef was wrong, because it says Lohikpid. When he found the bug, the fly, he wasn't upset. And that wasn't what led his wife to go away from the house. What made his wife leave? The fact that he got all upset when he found the hair. So how is Rabbi Yosef right? Rabbi Yosef seems to be wrong. It doesn't seem to be Elu Velu. Besides that, on a theological level, much more theological, what does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying that they're both right? How did they know?
That
was only after the fact. What was going on at the time that they had that machlokas? They had special siyata d'shmaya, ruach hakodesh, what's going on? So, the first question. There's an interesting Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok says, about this machlokas, he says that the zvuv, it demonstrates a lack of holiness. Where do we see that? Because it says, Chazal tells the Isha Shunamis, knew that Elisha was a holy person because she didn't see any flies flying around him. How do we see? If flies fly around you, that means that you're not so holy. Holy people, they don't have problems with flies, with mosquitoes, with bugs. It's better than any spray. He was holy, no problems with any bugs. Bugs just attack people who look like they're animals. They're not completely holy. So the bug symbolized the first step in the erosion of their relationship. There was a lack of Kedusha. The Nima...
On his part.
On both of their parts. Probably took two. The Nima represents actually an Arias problem. This is not just a lack of Kedusha, but the Nima, Reb Tzadok says, a hair always represents what the Yetzer is at the very beginning. It says the Yetzer at the very beginning of the process is like a chut hasaira, a hair breadth. And this Nima, obviously, if she left it, it means she didn't shave their hair. It means that there was something wrong with their intimate relations. This is already a step later, and it showed that there was some already friction between the two of them in matters which had to do with Arias. So I'm telling you, I think that the pshat is, what does it mean, Eilu Ve'ilu Tiver Elokim Chaim? What? What does it mean, Eilu Ve'ilu Tiver Elokim Chaim? It means that when he saw Zenima, when he saw the Zvub, he should have been Makbid. That was the problem. The problem is when you see a lack of Kedusha in the household, that's the time to be Makbid. If you wait for the Nima, then it's already too late. Yeah, and then to be Makbid can have much, much more negative consequences, because then it's the Eimo Yisera. So they're both right. The first cause was the fact that he wasn't Makbid on the diminished Kedusha in the household. What brought about the actual problem, what brought it to the fore blatantly, was the Nima when he did get upset and she actually did run out of the house.
That's beautiful, except there's a problem between that and the Seifa of Rav Chisda's Maskana.
Which Maskana?
Here.
The Gemara.
Maybe the Baal was
right, he shouldn't grant it.
Because it was a Zvuk,
right.
It could happen, pass over it, quiet.
No, but he should have said it in a nice way, of course. That granted, you should have been Makbid, but not in a negative way. You should have been Makbid, said, hey, what's going on? There's a lack of Kedusha in our relationship. Let's shore things up. He didn't do that. That was a Chisar.
What did he do?
He was just quiet. He ignored it. He ignored the bug.
I'm telling you
my perspective on this. My perspective is Shalom Bayis indicates that one should treat it well. Not that one should ignore any slippery slope. One should realize the problem, deal with it in a level-headed, nice, the Kavadika fashion.
Maybe he did.
And that's what, no, lo hikpid means you just ignored it. That's how I'm explaining the Gemara. So that's the pshat. He ignored the problem in the early stages. He thought maybe that was the best thing to do, but it was a mistake. And since he ignored it at the beginning, later on, when he did get upset, he got upset too much and too late, and that had all the negative ramifications. So both aspects are true. Now the second thing I want to tell you...
You're so fair, you're so eminently fair in terms of marriage counseling. It's beautiful. They were both responsible. But why not dump on him?
I'll dump on him later. There's a whole paragraph to dump on him. Just let's wait
for later. The fact that he treated her in her status.
That's right.
The legish and not an isha. Well,
Chazal are not emphasizing that here. We'll get that later on. No, he could have done it in a level-headed manner. I didn't say he should bite her head off. Why are you taking what I said to an extreme and attacking me on the basis of that? Told you, I'm going to put you in your place tonight if you get out of it. Now, the second thing I want to tell you is more experimental, even more than the first thing, which is that I want to propose the following. That by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know there's no concept of time. Time is created in this world, in Olam Hazed Dikat terms. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's realm, there's no time. That means, as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, as best we can describe it, it's as if Rabbi Yosar and Rabbi Innocent Machlokas is taking place at the same time as the Maisa Pilegish Begiva. And it's possible for a machlokis in Chazal, therefore, to cause reality to occur. How do I mean that? Because the way we look at things in a linear fashion, history proceeds. History is time marches on. But from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspective, it's not like that. All time is simultaneous. So therefore, it's possible to hypothesize that when we talk about Eilu Ve'ilu Tiver Elokim Chaim and their machlokes, that their machlokes is contemporaneous from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is beyond time, with the actual Maisa, and therefore what happened comes about as a result of their machlokes. I don't know, it's a possibility, it's something to think about. I told you it's experimental. Perhaps that resolves how a machlokes in Chazal, which seems to be a machlokes in historical fact, can actually influence history retroactively. Okay.
He means the machloket, according to you, preceded the event and determined the outcome.
That's right.
Not that it took place
simultaneously. Not simultaneously, right. Preceded the event and determined
the
outcome.
Okay, today we can write our own conclusions to the movie that we see on the screen. I suppose we can do the same.
Right, a similar idea. We'll have to, it's a similar idea. Okay, what else do I want to say on this? I think that that's it for this pasuk. Yeah, next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Vayoka Mishra, her husband got up, Vayelech Achareah, and he followed her, L'daber Aliba, to speak to her heart, in other words, to be romance her back.
Okay, Rashi, according to this Gemara, should he have?
Yeah, because he wasn't really Znus. It wasn't really Znus. He should have, were it to be real Znus, he shouldn't have taken her back, perhaps. But they had a squabble. It happened.
Not a squabble, it was about this Nima.
What?
It was about this Nima, which suggested there was something fundamentally
right,
wrong.
But they could still patch it up. It happened to be they didn't patch her up in the right way. But theoretically, of course, you should always try and patch her up. Yes, that's what he's saying. Lashiva, to bring her back. V'naroi mo, he took his servant with him. V'tzemet chamorim, and a pair of donkeys. He obviously was a very rich man. He had a servant and a pair of donkeys. Well, obviously loaded up with all sorts of good stuff. V'tzevyehu beisavir. And he brought all the she brought him to her father's house. It seems because the Mepharshim say she was on her way back to see him. She also was feeling bad about it. And they met each other, and she went. They met each other on the road. She brought her husband back home with her. And the Shver saw him. Obviously, he saw all the good stuff he was carrying. Also, by Yismachlik or so, and he was very happy to see him. Two reasons brought down the Mepharshim. One is that he was happy that the marital bliss, quote unquote, of his daughter was being restored. The other was that he was happy that he had such a choshva edim, such a rich son-in-law, obviously also the lady, such a rich son-in-law. Yeah.
But only treated her as a
pilegish,
and that is a
Even though he was, only though he only treated her as a pilegish, yeah.
If there was at least one servant in the house, how did he know it was her hair?
Oh, well, what do you mean? If it was in the soup?
Yeah.
I don't know how he knew. I guess it was a certain color. But if it was in her in private parts, then obviously he knew. I mean, that's what he was looking at. Okay?
He still could.
That's only a crazy opinion that it was in the soup. It was on her body, so obviously you could tell.
Yeah, but in the soup it's wet.
Yeah.
So
okay, kasha namaisa. I don't know. Okay.
DNA
testing, that's right. Okay, Vayachsek Bochosno, his father-in-law grabbed him, the mother of the girl, Vayeshivito Shloshes Yomim, and he stayed there 3 days. Vayochlu Vayishtu, every night they ate and drank, that whole party, Vayilu Shom, and they said he slept overnight. It happened on the fourth day. Vayashkimu Aboka, they were up early in the morning, Vayochlu Malechas, and they got up to go. So the father girl said to his son-in-law, you should feast on some bread, and then go. Now they wanted only to eat bread. What happened was, let's just have them to eat. They drank. So they drank, got drunk. Don't drink and drive. I had to stay overnight. Right. Well, we'll get to Adar later. So the father of the girl said to the man, do me a favor, stay overnight, and you'll be good. You'll feel good in the morning. Guess you won't be hungover. The guy got up still to walk, even though he drank. And his father pleaded with him. He came back and slept there overnight. Or he stayed there and slept overnight. Got up again in the morning on the fifth day to go. The father girl said, son, first eat breakfast. And they tarried in breakfast until the afternoon, until the sun was going down. And they're eating together. The guy got up to go. Who pilak shoven aro? He, the girl, and the servant. Vayom lo chazno avia naro. And his father said to him again, Hinein o rof vayom. The day is getting weaker. It's going down la aro towards evening. Linu na. Please stay overnight. Hinei chanois hayom. The day is about to park itself. In other words, the day is about to end. Another interpretation. Now is the time to park yourself to stay here overnight. Lean po, stay here overnight. The tablo of echa, and you'll feel good in the morning. Yishkamtem bochor ledarkichem. And tomorrow you'll go on your way. V'alachol alech, and you'll go to your tent because it's a one-day trip. He says, this way you're going to have to stay overnight somewhere. You're going to have to stay in a motel. If you go tomorrow morning, you'll be able to make it in one day during the daylight hours.
Chazal say that he had the nevuah, that he knew what was going to happen.
No, Chazal are very silent on this parak, as a matter of fact. We've seen all the Chazals we're going to see. That's it.
Because his admonitions suggest like there was a portent.
He was portent. It sounds like a portent, but Chazal don't pick up on that. V'lava ishlalun, he didn't stay, he didn't want to stay over. Vayakam, he got up, vayelech, and he went. Vayavod nochach Yavuz, he came opposite Yavuz, he Yerushalayim, which is Yerushalayim. V'imon with him, semet chamorim chavushim, he had a couple of the packed animals, Pilak Shomimo and his concubine with him. Now the Malbim says these are the reasons he didn't want to camp in the field. First of all, he had a lot of stuff to steal. Besides that, you know, you can't camp with your wife out in the field. His wife would be too sensitive and wouldn't enjoy that. So, Hemodi Imyavus, they were opposite Yavus, which is now today Yerushalayim, Vayom Radmod, and the day was going down very much. The sun was practically down. Vayom Anal Adonav, and the servant said to his master, L'chonav Asura Nasura El Ira Yavusi, come, let's go into the Yavusite city, Azos, this Yavusite city, V'nolimba, and we'll sleep there. Now, it's interesting, let's do the next pasuk first. Vayom Elov Adonav, his master said to him, Lo Nasura El Ira Nelchri, we're not going to go into a foreign city, Ashalom Ibn Yisrael, which is not from the Jews, Haina. Rather, let's go to Giva. Now it's interesting, why does he say both? So the Malbim points out that even cities which belonged to Goyim very often were conquered by the Jews and were tributaries. They paid mass, they paid tax to Am Yisrael. Yavuz here was neither conquered by the Jews, neither Jewish nor even conquered by the Jews. They weren't even tributaries of the Jews. And it's an interesting thing, from this the Ralbach proves that the Maisa Pilegish B'Givah happened very early. Because at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, it says that Bnei Yehuda did conquer Yerushalayim later, after Yeshua's death. So it must be that this happened sometime again around the Sneil Ben Kanaz, the same time the Ralbach said Pekel Michlaker. Around the same time, right. What's it doing? The end of Shoftim? You should have come last week. I got the tape. It's in there. Okay? So, Vayomer Lanaro. What? What? Prepare for kings.
This is the emo, seven chamorim chavushim. Does this show that seven chamorim chavushim is more important than
it is? Could be. That's a good deal, right? It says seven chamorim chavushim before the Pilegish. Right? He was more concerned with the donkeys than with his Pilegish. Certainly is true. We'll see later on how concerned he was with his beloved Pilegish. In any event, Vayomer Lanaro. He said to his servant, Lech v'nikrava b'chad ha'makomos, let's go and come closer to one of these places. V'lanu b'giva obraman, we'll sleep either in Giva or Ramah. Now to put in modern day terms, this is Shuafat or Nebi Samuel. It's a remarkable one, you can actually know where these places are. But we know very clear Giva is Shuafat, that's where Neve Yaakov area, slightly north of Yerushalayim, within the Jerusalem municipal limits, and Ramah is Nebi Samuel, where they allegedly have the kever of Shmuel HaNavi. These are actually places just north of Yerushalayim. So they wanted to go north of Yavuz, traverse north of Yavuz, which is where Silwan is today, and go up to the next city, which was in the area of Shevet Binyamin. What? No, they don't want to, I'm sure they wouldn't stay in Shuafat nowadays either. Vayom Lenaro, so he said to his, we just did that. Vayavru, Vayavru, they went beyond Yavuz. Vayelechu, and they continued on. Vatavol Lemashemesh, and the sun came down completely, Eitzal Giva, which is slightly further in than Ramah, Asher Levinyamin, which belongs to Binyamin. Vayasurusham, they went in there, they came into that town. Lavo, the Lalumba Giva, to come to stay overnight in Giva. Vayavo, and they came. Vayeshir Bechovair, and they sat in the street of the city. Vayishma Seifosam Abaisa, and nobody took them into their houses, Lalum, to stay overnight. Vinei Izokin Bomin Maaseu Minasoda. Lo and behold, an old man was coming from his work out in the fields. Vayarev in the evening. Vayish Mihar Ephraim, he wasn't a Binyaminite. He was from Shevet Ephraim. Vugar beGiva. He lived in Giva. The Anshei Makom, the rest of the city, were Bnei Yemini, were from the sons of Yemini. That is a very interesting pasuk. The Malbim says he's going to take them in. We're going to see that in the next pasuk. When we get to the next pasuk in several minutes, the Malbim says this pasuk points out that it was a very big goymel chesed in taking them in. First of all, he was old; he was a zaken. Sides Shabbai just came in from the fields. Sides in Maaseh, he was working all day; he was tired. Sides that he was a gar; he was not as responsible as everybody else in the city. He wasn't really one of the main people in the city. He was from Ephraim, and there was a Binyamin city. Nonetheless, he's the one who took them in. These guys, says the Radak, they're Bnei Yemini. By Mordechai, it says Ish Yemini. He was a tzaddik, like Binyamin. These guys were Bnei Yemini. The Radak says they're identified as Bnei Yemini despite their rishos. In other words, we have to say, even though they were sinners, nonetheless, they're from Shevet Binyamin. But the ideal traits of being an Ish Yemini, that they did not demonstrate. Okay, now turn to my notes. We're going to start doing Reb Tzadok about Binyamin. That's the seventh page, actually, of the handout. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, seventh page of the handout. On 16. Anybody see that? Says Reb Tzadok on Binyamin. The building of the Mikdash and the Mishkan was the setting of a place for the divine presence in the lower regions. This is the source of the clinging of the Jewish people to their Father in Heaven. Just like the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash, who were embracing each other in Kachi Kachi. And this, the Beis HaMikdash, Zeriyah B'chelkol Sheyehudu Binyamin. It was in, the Beis HaMikdash was in the portions of Yehuda and Binyamin. V'afilu Yavdilu Achatoim, Zer Gabizeh, and the Beis HaMikdash is so powerful that even if Bnei Yisrael sins tremendously, Brisa Avo Eina Nitekes, the covenant of love is never severed. U'me'olam lozozer Shechina Meikos Lomar Ravi, and the Shechina, the Divine Presence, never leaves the western wall. U'mo'at Bo'al Yosef, it's true that Kosh Baruch Hu forsook Shiloh, where Yosef, which was in Shevet Yosef, where he was in the Mishkan, had a Mishkan Shiloh Shayo Rak L'Shoah. Mishkan Shiloh was only temporary. Why? He called Tokev Majegoso Rak Mitzad Olam Hazeh. The Yosef's great advantage and characteristic is relevant to Olam Hazeh. Hatzoich Lagdoros, where a person has to be restrained. Yosef, we know, is the sign of restraint. Yosef Hatzadik. He was a restrained individual. He had to restrain his tithes. He couldn't use them because they were too dangerous. Because were he to unleash his tithes, he would go after Ashes Potiphar. So Yosef had to be restrained. That's an Olam Hazeh attitude. One needs restraint. And all of Olam Hazeh is only temporary. But the permanent kingship, which is the aspect of the kingship of heaven, where God gives honor to those who are yoreh, to those who are in awe of Him, in the root of Am Yisrael, who rak b'Yehuda. Yehuda represents the use of all tithes l'shem shamayim, all lust. It doesn't have to be restrained. It's automatically l'shem shamayim. And even the ones which seem to be averus, like Yehuda and Tamar, and Dovin and Batsheva, they too become L'shem Shamayim. Because we know from Yehuda and Tamar comes Mashiach, and from Dovin and Batsheva comes Mashiach. So although at first it seems like an Avera, ultimately it proves the innate Kedusha of Am Yisrael, that even the Averos, there every cloud, there's a silver lining. So all the Taivas are L'shem Shamayim. That's the aspect which in this world is not perfect, but in the world to come will be, and which the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to represent. The Beis HaMikdash is a place with no dross, with no impurity, where everything is completely Shem Shamayim, like Yehuda. No restraint, no holding back. Complete connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uvinyamin nilvayimayim tamid. Binyamin is always slept together with them, with Yehuda. Ki gam atreidas binyamin atzadik. Binyamin, interestingly, the Gemara, in the Gemara, there's a personality called Binyamin HaTzadik, who appears very prominently a couple of times as a big tzadik. So we see that the midah of tzadik is linked twice in Jewish history. Once to Yosef, and once to Binyamin. You see that it has to do with the children of Rachel, in general. And the children who immediately makom dagan tzadik shenev ad Yosef. He fulfills the midah of Yosef, hainu darga the chol maisel l'shem shamayim, which is to do all one's deeds measuredly for the sake of heaven. V'alkein, and therefore, ha-gu'ula da'ador, the gu'ula and ador, ha'yai de'zer binyamin, was to the children of binyamin. V'asiba, and what had to be done is ha'yai de'avera l'shem shamayim, that the purpose, the gula was achieved by an aveira for the sake of heaven, the kichas Esther l'achashverosh, that Esther was taken to achashverosh. These galu zu, and the revelation was, and here I put in brackets, the revelation which was in Purim, was the v'amech kulam tzadikim, that even those who seem to sin are also tzadikim. L'shalchein rotu rabi me'ameh artzlis yahed. And that's why it says many of the goyim wanted to become Jews, says Reb Tzadok. Ki nafa pachad ayhudim aleihem, says Reb Tzadok. It doesn't mean that they were afraid of the Jews. It means they were impressed with the innate Jewish kedusha, that a Jew has innate built-in yirat shamayim. A pachad yehudim is a yiddish yirat shamayim, which each and every Jew has. That's what impressed them and brought them to be megayer. That was Hoya Ba'adar. Shuneged Koch Yosef, which corresponds to Yosef. There are two others, like there's Ephraim and Menashe, by Dezara de Binyamin, and by the children of Binyamin. Ki Ika Koch Hagdora, the restraint, Humisiaches Li Yosef, that corresponds to Yosef. Avo Vagdoroso, who befell El Gomor. But Yosef was completely successful in this. Vulav Kol Adam Zoicha, not everybody merits this. I got tired of writing, so let's continue inside here. Here, no, it goes on over here, on the other side of the page. Turn back a page. Vizgaluze, and this is skipping a going, Vizgaluze, this is something we did already, but I'm going to read it over again. Haya Ba'adar, the first arrow is, Shuneged Koch Yosef, by Dei Zara de Binyamin. Kikor Koch Hagdora Misachas Li Yosef. Avagdoros Ufal Gomer Vlev Koadam Zeicher. Rakesho Esos. There's certain ways to do it. Lios Na Pohu, to overturn something which is bad to make it good, like by tshuva, shemasha yanira siba lara, that which looks bad, hunata bema siba lato, becomes a catalyst for good. Kibiyas Haman al Mishnah, for instance, when Haman came to the Mishnah, shosta Esther, she's poyer bezeh, when he took great pride in this, v'choshev ayidei zeh, and he thought through this, Aitzos, how to counsel the closest Mordechai to hang Mordechai, uvemes hoya zeh livdono, that really vanquished him. V'tliyoson, he was hanged as a result himself. The Shoresh Litas Haman, and what is Haman's power? Who is Gabrus Kohadimion, is by increasing the power of imagination. What happened was at the time of Purim, they slept from the mitzvahs. Medrash, and the Medrash says, Elokechem Elokeim Yoshinu, that Haman said, oh, their God is also sleeping. But then it became clarified, the Gambi Yosem Shkuin Bidimion, even though they were mired in that imagination of being assimilated, Im Kozen, nonetheless, Shosham, Dovuk Bashem Yisbach, in reality, all Jews are connected to God. That's why a person has to get drunk on Purim. The Shikur Asaras Hadas, a drunkard loses all of his awareness, his consciousness, his garbage of demon, and is sunk in imaginations and in hallucinations. And on Purim it's clarified that God, us, even somebody who's drunk, is still davuk b'Hashem Yisbarach, still clings to God. And that's to Binyamin, who proves that a Jew who seems to have taiva really has innate yiras shamayim. V'chibur Yosef Binyamin, and the connectedness of Yosef and Binyamin, who is galus that amech kulam tzadikim, is a revelation that all Jews are tzadikim. V'zeu atzas Yosef, and this is what Yosef had in mind when he said, Zos asu v'chiu es alokim ani yorei. What did he say? Shiravir elo Binyamin. He wanted them to bring Binyamin. V'ideza yuchu l'istabi chayom, and by that, they can all bring themselves up to eternal life. Now, what do we see from this? Binyamin was supposed to follow in Yosef's footsteps. Yosef was somebody who was a big Baal Taifa, who had restraint. He wanted to educate Binyamin in this Midah as well. That was his purpose, that he and Binyamin should be the same. In fact, in the time of Purim, that came to the fore. In the time of Purim, when the whole of Am Yisrael was assimilating, so a person from Shevet Binyamin took them back from the luxuries and the flesh pots of Shushan and brought them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not yet, not before that. I'm going to skip down a little bit. The Lechumadume and Reb Tzadok says, it seems to me that when did Yosef call them down to Egypt? Doya Zebadr. He called them down to Egypt in Adar. The Oz Shomush Nasayim the Rav Beker of Aretz. That's when the 2 years of famine ended. Das Cholash Nesova, the beginning of 2 years of satiation, the Rav, and the 7 years of plenty, and the 2 years of famine, Hoya Benissa, was in Nissa. Das Maschil Kotcher, when harvest began. It says, even though Yosef became king, Vavagad the Rosh Hashanah Yosef based on Surim, he left the prison rather on Rosh Hashanah, because custom says Rosh Hashanah. Vaza Yaschalto Lenesti, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that became the beginning of the miracle of Yitzias. Vaz on Adar, Hoya Haschalto Lenesti, Yitzias Mitzrayim, was the beginning of Nesti, Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Yosef Moshe on Mitzrayim, to be able to rule on Mitzrayim, Ervas Oretz. When Yosef became the ruler, he was able to suppress the Arias of Mitzrayim. At Shuchal Achtim Os Mila Bipsora. Until he actually was mal them, it says. He made them all have a bris mila. Huktas mein gilu shchina b'makom tuma. It's a little bit like bringing divine presence into an unholy place. Skipping to the next arrow. Kiaz, and that time, whose man birua adim yoinim. There's a time to clarify that imagery and imagination, some are true and some are untrue. When Am Yisrael looks bad, it's an image which is untrue. When Am Yisrael looks good, it's an image which is true. And who was the one who could clarify which images are good and which are not good? The Baal HaChalomos. Who was the Baal HaChalomos? Yosef. He was ideal for this position. Atem Yigil Gil Shechina Gomor, even before it reaches the complete revelation of Shechina, Shuaydei Yosef Yomish comes to Yosef Binyamin. But she's Chazik Lahagdir Atzmo, which means the power to strengthen oneself, to restrain oneself. And to remove oneself with one's own power, with toil and effort, from all of the imagery of this world, which are false, by overcoming and restraining Yosef, which is the power of the children of Yosef, and the help from God. Because if not that for God, you can't do it. It's Binyamin. Binyamin was lower. Yosef could do it on his own. Binyamin needed help. Binyamin needed Yosef's guidance and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance. Hanit Paltam Yehuda, who had to always join with Yehuda, which was his assistance later on. He doesn't have the same power of strength as Yosef. Only with additional siyata d'shmaya, that shrosh chinos yisbarach b'chamokom, of God's presence everywhere, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in our hearts. That God is the heart of Am Yisrael. God is the rock of my heart and my portion. Even though I'm sleeping, my heart is awake. Even though a person is awash in imagery of oil mazeh, shuashena, which is tantamount to sleeping, like they did in Shushan, nonetheless, ain't dimion neogad mamoki levavo. The imagination doesn't reach his heart. The shami shulam the kudas tzur levavo, the point of the rock of his heart, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the tzur Yisrael, she era is always awake. And so this person can awaken from his sleep, his slumber, and merit a complete redemption, by connecting the geulo to the other geulo, by Adar, then coming to Nisan, which comes by Levi and Yehuda. Obviously you have to do with the Beis HaMikdash, Levi, the Kohanim, and Yehuda, where the Beis HaMikdash was built. Mitzrayim Aydei Moshe Aaron, and Mitzrayim, they were attacked saved by Shevet Levi, Udazi, then the world to the future Gula, the Nisan, Asin Ligo Aydei Moshiach Ben David Bimher V'Yomenu. Now, what do we learn from this? Who was this? What was Binyamin's problem in Pilagish Begiva? They were Bali Taiva. They were lustful people. They're about to commit one of the most terrible sins of lust in the entire history of the Jewish people. That's what they're on the verge of seeing. What did they need to help them out? That's what the Zokin was from Ephraim. He was the Kiruv guy. He came and said, I'm from Shevet Yosef, I'm going to teach you. Why was he living among them? His intent, this is my hypothesis, was to teach them how to be channel taiva. What's a good thing to do with taiva? What's a good thing to do? Taiva is a means of expansiveness in a corrupt fashion. How do you expand towards others in a proper fashion? Achnasas Archim, by being Gomel Chesed, by doing the right thing. That's what he was trying to tell them. And you know what it's like? We're going to see in the next few psukim, I wrote this down in my notes, we're going to see tremendous parallels between stone, the psukim are written to demonstrate.
Lot,
a stone? Right, the stone versus the Kedesh Begiva. And this was Lot. Just like Lot tried to teach stone how to handle their taivas in the right way.
It's a little bit of a problem because Lot comes in for great criticism because who...
Right, he shouldn't have gone to Rishoyim. He shouldn't have gone to Rishoyim, that's true. He comes down for criticism, but here, after all, they were Jews. So we have a responsibility. Lot was not already for the goyim. We're responsible. So this Zokin, Rishayim Ephraim, he said, I'm going to teach them to use their chesed, not in the chesed of Arias, but in the chesed of Gemilus chesed. That's what he was trying to do to teach them.
He failed.
He failed. Like most people in Shoftim, he failed. But at least you have to give him credit for trying. Okay? So that is like the Sodomites, who directed their expansive characteristics towards Arias and away from Achnasas Orchim, and Lot tried to redirect them, so too, he from Shevet Yosef, who knew what to do with Taiva and how to channel it towards positive directions, was trying to teach them that, and it didn't work. Didn't work. Okay, on we go. Pasuk Yud Zayin. So the Zokin, the old man, it doesn't tell us, by the way, who it is. We have no idea who this is. It was not Elio, it wasn't Pinchas. We don't know who it was. Vayisoinov.
He preferred to remain nameless.
Pinchas is going to come up, don't worry. He'll come up later, but not here. Vayisoinov lifted up his eyes. Vayarsi Sharech Bechovayir. And he saw this guy, the guest in the city street. So the old man said, Ona Selech, where are you going? Are you going there tonight? Are you continuing on your way tonight? Or are you going to stay here? May I tell them where are you coming from?
Which is interesting, reversal of usual questions. Where are you coming from and where are you going?
Right, it's true. It is the reversal.
There's another place where they're
missing. Yeah. You said, we're passing from Beis Lechem, to the middle of Ephraim, from there I am, you know, saying like all Jews playing Jewish geography, as a landsman, we're over from the same place, from Ephraim. I have gone to Beis Lechem. I've been in Beis Lechem overnight, and now I'm going back, I'm going to Beis Hashem, could be one of two places. All of them, Mefarshim say, Shiloh, where the Mishkan was, which is further north. And either Itaki was going there, or he was trying to impress the guy, I'm a holy man, I'm going to Shiloh. The thing is, one could say also that Beis Hashem is Pesel Micha. Right? That he's going, because don't forget, Pesel Micha is always called Yud Kei Vav Kei. So it could be that this Beis Hashem, he really meant he's going to Pesel Micha. In any event, so that's Vav Ein.
If it was known that who he was, if this was Yonatan, then maybe the people of Binyamin were quite right in ostracizing him.
Well, but they didn't just ostracize him, that's the problem. We'll see. Vein Ish Ma Seif Osi Abaisa, nobody's taking me in. I don't have to worry about food. I have plenty of hay, straw, and plenty of hay for my donkeys. And I've got bread and wine for myself and my wife, your servant, Lanar, and for my slave. I'll even feed your slaves. I don't lack anything. So the old man said, Shalom Lach, don't worry, peace be upon you. Like anything you're lacking, I'll give you rach, just like the Lot said to the Malachim, Barchov al Tolin, don't stay in the street. Vayyeh Leveso, he brought him into his house. Vayavol Chamorim, he brought in the donkeys to the proper place. Vayachatzul Ragleim, and they washed their feet. Vayochlu Neet Vayishtu, and they drank. And Rechitzas Ragleim, also by Lot. Hema metivi meslibam. They were having a good time with, giving a good time. Vinei anshei ha'ir, the people of the city, anshei bnei Eliyahu, people who will not go up to Shamayim, people who have no future. Nosabu es habayis, just like in stone, surround the house. Mistapkim al adolus, they were knocking on the door. Vayomer al ish balabayis is walking. They said to the old man, the balabas, lemor, the following. Bring out the guy who came to your house, and we'll have and we'll have homosexual relations with him. I'm going to come back to these psukim later. So the Baal Bais, like Lot, went out for him and he said, Alachai, no, my brothers, don't do this evil deed, just like Lot. This guy came to my house, just like Lot said. Altasu, the son of Elazos, don't do this disgusting thing. Hine biti absula. I have my daughter, who's absula, she's never married, Upilak Sheyu, and his concubine. Osia Noasam. I'll bring them out. Obviously, the Zakin also had his priorities somewhat messed up. That's what happens when you live in Binyamin. Vidu Osam, and you torture them. Vasulohem ato beinechem. And do them what's good in your eyes. Lishazel losasu dvar nevolozos. That's worse. This man, don't do this disgusting thing. Vloavu anoshim lishmalo. The people wouldn't listen to him. So look at the guy. Vayachazekoish, the lady. Grab Pilagshel, grab this concubine. Vayotzia lehem achutz, and he shoved her out the door. Once they saw, says Rabag, they saw how beautiful she was. They said, oh, okay, we'll be satisfied with her. Vayedu osa, they had relations with her. Vayisalu ba, and they tortured her. Kol alaylo, all the night. Ad boker, till the morning. Vayishalchua, and they sent her back. Balosa shachar, when the sun came up.
You're quite convinced that it was the lady who took his pilagish and put her out rather than the zakein.
Yeah, it's that, yes, the ish. You'll see, it's always called the ish. Yeah. Throughout the parak, he's the ish, as opposed to the zakein. The old man was the zakein. Okay?
And his daughter apparently was unarmed.
His daughter, well, he didn't send his daughter out.
Right. In other words, she...
Oh, the daughter was unharmed. Yes, he didn't send his daughter out. There's only the Levi who was all too ready to send out his Pilegish. Now,
should be Yorig V'Yavor, right?
What?
Should this be Yorig V'Yavor?
Is it Yorig V'Yavor? Certainly, it's not. You're not allowed to save yourself and somebody else's cheshbon.
Which is what this Zakhan, who we just said was such a great, wonderful guy,
just said he lived in Binyamin. He was Mushpa. Didn't I say that? He was influenced by them. I don't remember. But I want to get into something else here. It's getting late. There's a very, very big machlokes here among the Rishonim. And I photocopied it, although I don't find get into it. You can take a look at it yourself. It's photocopied backwards. But in the pages, the whole thing is there. Lagdama to these broken from the Derech Bina, which is Rabbi Shoshana from Cleveland's Sefer on... Peirushan, Sefer Shoftim. He brings down the machlokas in detail. First, the hashvaot, the comparisons between the text and Breishis and Breishis Yutes, the same perek, and Shoftim Yutes, and also the different Rishonim's approaches. Now, the Ramban tries to explain why this is not as bad as stone. The Akedas Yitzhak and the Abarbanel say it was just as bad as stone. Same gravity of sin. So the Malbim follows in the footsteps of the Ramban and tries to explain why this sin was not as grave as the sin of stone. And he does a pretty nice job of it, so I'd like to see that with you inside. He explains all the psukim we just learned. If you take a look back on page 156, on the Malbim and Chav Beis, he discusses it. He follows, again, as I say, this is the Ramban's approach, that was not as severe as sin. The philosophers have already spoken about this. What was in between Giva Michatasto, Hashem Telem Gofis Vahesh, that God brought upon them all the total annihilation, and he uprooted their cities. They also command Sestom, and these people did like the Sodomites. They weren't punished by heaven. Now the truth is, it's not a kasha. Because nonetheless, they were Jews. Bottom line, by Israel, there's Erech HaPaim, there's Tshuva, there's Midas HaRachamim. It's not like going. But nonetheless, it's important to see, is there in fact a distinction between Shishi and Stoman here? So he says, Vayomru, and they, the Rishonim said, Ki Yeshav Del Ben Arosha, there's a difference between an evil person of an Achote and a sinner. So Lamaya means to say, Ki Anchei Sodom, Hoya Cheto Mitzad HaSeichel. They sin rationally. They made it a logic. They made a code. Ki chokul em chukim lo tovim, they made distorted laws, umishpatim bal yichubem, distorted judgments, chayam dinios, which are not civil. Ki lo alem chukim eil, umishpatim tzadikim, they pretend that these are just laws, such as bal yavar el reach, bal derech atzam, no guest was permitted in their nation, va'over, and somebody who took in a guest, a noshi or nesh kufinim, the same was punished based on their laws. The laws to mashosu in etavosam, they didn't just do what they did because of lust. Momentary lust, but because of corrupt laws. People give up, they weren't like that. This wasn't an intellectual sin. They didn't make any laws of such. They were just lusty. I wish they didn't bring the guy in as a guest. You kill him. They were misers, vitzorayin, and skinflints. On that which they wanted to have relations with him, was because they had lust. And the test for this is, Aleph Lotich Nis Malachim B'Seser. The Lot had to take in the angels in secret. And the Malachim really wanted to see him in the street. Was because they're afraid of the law. And the old man in Giva, Yichniso Sama Beis Haveres, he took them in public. It says all of them. She has a kol chol anshi, all the people in the city. Mitzachu anshi stone, because that was stone. For yachnosis archim negative who came and to bring guests was against their laws. Upoksiv vanchei anshi bliyal, not everybody in the city. So my bnei bliyal, the bad people are shebri, which were in the city. Vasaf suf. And the riffraff, Asher Bekirba, which were in the city, his Avu Taiva, they had a lust. Lo kulam, not everybody. Lo mitzad animus, it wasn't a law. Rak mitzachim anchi bliyal, just because they were bad people. Vosim negad achok mishvot, is against the law. Gimel, shom ksiv nosav labais. They surround the city, shirotu lichom alabais. They want to fight the abalabais, to fight the owner of the house. Shavuch came who transgressed their laws. Upo ksiv nosavu es habais. Not alabais, not against the house, but around the house. Lishmor bal yivrach orech, to make sure the orech doesn't run away. Lo shenosav alabais lichom. Not that they came to fight. V'chein lo rotsu bevito. That's why they didn't want his daughter. Ki lo rotsu lasos rala zokin. They didn't want to harm the old man. V'chein ksiv mizdavkin al dels. They knocked on the door. They knocked, you know. They said, you know, they didn't try to bang it down. Bevinyan yispoel. Shemore ala pula medumeko misra ser misra shesh shonirin kidovkin v'lo dovkin mamish. They didn't come to fight. They wanted to break the door. Let's go on the next page. There it says the Lot had to run inside the house. Here it says Zokin could go out and negotiate. He had to close the door behind him to make sure they don't run around him into the house by Lot. But here he didn't have to do that. Kiyoda Shaloi easily closed the base, so he knew they weren't going to enter his house against his will. Dalit Amar Lam Shunavala. He told him it's a disgusting thing. He assumed that their mind was still clear enough to know it's disgusting. Lot didn't mention anything disgusting. He only mentioned the first point by Yareu, that they shouldn't do something evil, al Shaboluk Babeso, because they're in his house. The honor of Lot's household. He didn't say it's disgusting. Because their laws condone homosexuality. Chavdalit. Hine biti, with so my malos tavaschem, if you want to fulfill your lust, hine no biti upilaksheu. Vagam shugam kinevola. Hi, it's also disgusting. And bushta maruba, it's not as embarrassing, kabosha seish, like a man will be embarrassed. Vizesh, because of shenis, lisha zer lo tasu dvar nevola azos. To do it to man is worse. The Mfarshim explained that they didn't want to embarrass the old man's daughter. So the man threw out his pilak. We see here also only lust. When they found that she was sufficient, he stopped kubazeh. that was sufficient. And they had relations with her the proper way. And they sodomized her, but then they went home. They were happy with enough with that, and then they went home. Okay, whether you accept this approach or not, that's the approach of the Ramban and the Malbim to mitigate the sin of the people of Giva as opposed to the sin of the people of Sodom. Like I say, it doesn't bother me so much, even if it was just as bad a sin. Still, by Jews, there's a possibility of tshuva, and that's why God doesn't destroy them on the spot. Okay, let's go further. Vayokom Adonai Chavzayin. Vayokom Adonai Baboker, her husband, her master. He's no longer a husband. What is he now? This is not a husband. Adonai. He treated her like a slave. Didn't say Adonai anywhere before. It never speaks about a husband as an Adon. But that's how he related to this woman, as an Adon, vis-a-vis a Shifcha. So it says here, Vayokom Adonai Baboker. I forgot, it's also, Vatavo Ishalifnos Boker. I'm sorry, I skipped the pasuk. Chavav. Vatavo Ishalifnos Boker. She came before morning. Vatipo Besach Besa Ish. She fell at the opening of the house of the man, Asher Adonai Shram, where her master was inside, Adar, until light. I know it doesn't say it. Okay, I figured you'd pick on that. But before it was him. Vayokom Adonai Baboker, and her master got up in the morning. He slept all right that night. He didn't have any problems. Vayiftach Dausos Abayis, and he opened the doors. Vayetzilech Sadako. And he was going, he wanted to go back. And okay, let's continue on, as if nothing happened. Vinea Isha Isha Pilaksho, no fellas Pesach Abayis, and his wife, his former wife, the Pilagesh, no fellas Pesach Abayis, was falling on the opening of the door. Vyodera El Saf, her hands were on the threshold. Had he stayed up, he probably could have saved her, taken her in, resuscitated her, but he went to sleep. He got up in the morning, and then he opened the door. And then the most amazing pasuk, the most amazing pasuk, the next pasuk. Vayomile said to her, Kumi v'nilcha, get up and let's go. Yeah. No reaction, no nothing. Just get up and let's go. Ve'noine. Needless to say, there was no answer.
Her reaction's even better.
Her reaction's better, right? Vayomile, he loaded her up on the donkey. Vayomile, and he got up. Vayomile, and he went back home. Vayomile, he came to his house. Vayomile, he took the knife. Now, here's an interesting parallel. I don't know what to make of it. But the parallel is to Akedas Yitzchak. There it says, Vayikachas HaMacheles, and here it says, Vayikachas HaMacheles. Vayichazek b'pilaksho, and he grabbed his pilagesh, Vayinatchel atzomer, and he cut her into pieces, by the bones somehow. L'shneimasar nitzachim, to 12 pieces, Vayishachel b'chol gvul Yisrael. And here the Malbim says the symbolism in this is that the body, he wanted to say, the body of Am Yisrael is splintering. Something tragic is going on here. The Shvatim are not united enough. Because if the Shvatim were united as one nation, it would be impossible to conceive of such a terrible act occurring. It must be that Binyamin regards Levi or Ephraim as completely separate from themselves. Because you can only perpetrate such an act on somebody who regard as not a member of your society. So he's saying, the body of Am Yisrael, the cohesive unit which we should be, is splintering, is falling apart. That was the message he was trying to send. Vayakola Roeh, and anybody who saw this, so he said something must be done to unite the people, either by tshuva or by war. At Lamaisa, bottom line, maybe it's a nice idea he was trying to express, but it's still a disgusting way to do it. I don't have that much sympathy for this individual here. Vayakola Roeh, anybody who saw these body parts, Vamar, he said, Lo Niyasa, I never heard of anything like this in Am Yisrael before happening. Certainly, even if it did happen, Lo Niyasa, because also it wasn't done in public. In other words, like what Binyamin did. They weren't amazed at the body parts. Perhaps that amazed them too. But they're here, they're talking about what a terrible thing happened there in Binyamin. From the days Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim to this very day, nothing happened like this. This is why we're taken out of Egypt, to get away from such terrible things. Simu lochem aleh. Let's analyze this. Let's investigate. See if this taka happened the way he says. Utsu, If it's true, we have to find a way to deal with it, the Daberu, and then do we have to conclude how exactly we're going to approach this issue. So, we're left hanging here, of course, in the middle of the Maisa, but obviously Am Yisrael is concerned. They're aroused. Now, I would say that this is a little bit of riot that this happened at the end of the period of the Shreftim. Because I think that this is when you're concerned, throughout the period of Shreftim, we see this splintered. If they're finally getting concerned about it, I think it's probably at the end, and they're trying, it's a little bit, not a good proof, but a slight proof, that it's at the end, and that this is preparing, paving the way for the eventual unification of Am Yisrael under a king. Perhaps. Anyway, we're certainly going to pick up on it next week.
Yeah. Question. Was she dead when he did this?
When he, no, she was dead. She was dead. In Pasuk, she was certainly dead.
That's why she didn't answer, right?
That's why she didn't answer.
Well, I don't think it's such a terrible act. It's better than splitting hairs.
Seriously.